Good morning, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Outdoor Connection. My guest this morning is Julie Geiser, Public Information Officer with the Nebraska Game and Parks Commission here in North Platte. And we're going to be talking today about a couple events you got coming up this weekend. Good morning, Mog. How you doing?
Good morning. Doing good.
I've talked to a couple other Game and Parks people. The new turkey biologist that you have on.
Yep.
And told her, I said, just ask her if she had met you. And she said, just briefly, but had heard that you were a good person to know. I said, yes, that's true. I said, next time you see her, call her Mog, and she'll know who you've been talking to. Everybody seems to get a kick out of that.
Yeah, it's kind of
Madam Outdoor Goddess. How you been?
Good. Very good. Excellent. Probably better than I deserve.
Dave Ramsey.
Yep.
You got a busy weekend coming up.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. It's going to be a little hectic.
Let's talk first of all. Tomorrow morning out at Lake Maloney, what you got going?
Carp-O-Rama.
Where did that originally come from? Who came up with that idea?
I don't know. I'm sure it was probably Larry Pape and some of his folks out of the Lincoln office.
Uh-huh.
But, yeah, I just like to say it like that.
It is Carp-O-Rama.
Carp-O-Rama. It's the annual Carp-O-Rama at Lake Maloney.
And it is kind of a festive fair type thing.
It is. If you haven't been there, you got to come at least try it once.
Yeah. 8 to noon, right?
Noon-ish. 8 to 1, yeah.
8 to 1, okay.
Yep.
And no cost to be there.
Right. Just need a park pass.
Park pass if you're bringing a vehicle in.
So. Yep. You can buy a daily. There'll be the kiosk there at the lake will be open.
Or you could do it online.
Online, yep. So. OutdoorNebraska.gov.
Very good.
So
what will people get to see at Carp-O-Rama and or do?
Right. So, like you just said, everything's free. Game and Parks actually provides all the rods, all the reels, all the bait. So all you have to do is just show up.
Did the guys chum the water the last couple of days?
Yes.
That's always going the extra mile. They've chummed the water. The fish are waiting.
That's right.
They're used to seeing that corn in the water,
yep.
So throw something yellow out there and you're liable to get
it's
one.
A corn and jello mixture, and it's been fermenting for about 2.5 weeks, so it is darn good if you're a carp, I would say.
If you're a carp. You know, I've had Dr. Keith Jones, who used to be with Berkeley Pure Fishing and the guy that invented power bait. He's been out here a couple times. They were working on a power bait for carp.
Interesting.
Because in Europe, carp is...
It's a delicacy.
It's a very sought-after game fish. And he was out here one time, and he called, and he says, mix up your best carp baits, and we'll test it against this and see how we're doing. Well, as it ended up, it was about a tie, about a draw on what we caught, but he told me that carp are one of the smartest fish out there.
Yeah.
If you catch them, you got them. But if they bite a bait or take a hook and are not caught, they probably will never touch whatever that was again.
Right.
They know the scent.
And they'll probably tell everybody else underwater.
Yeah. They'll communicate it, I'm sure. But carp is it's always amazed me, traveling around different parts of the country, which fish is considered highly prized and which one's not. And you go to the eastern part of Nebraska, and carp is looked upon as a sport fish.
Right.
You come out here.
Not here.
And it ranks somewhere between water pollution and trash.
And that's just it. It's like we were talking yesterday. It's kind of one of those underutilized fish species.
Very much so.
I mean, we've got them in our, in our reservoirs and ponds and they're fighters. They're fun to catch.
That is the key. There's two or three times a year I will go out fishing targeting carp just to get the fight.
Yep. And the fly rod.
That is a riot. If you go out and hook up with an 8-10 pound carp on a 4-pound test or four weight rod.
Right.
Oh, man.
The fight is on.
I've had some guys come in to fish with me, and one was a friend of mine who lived in Utah, and he would always fly fish in the mountains for golden trout. And they're a relatively small subspecies, but that was his main thing. And he was kind of a purist when it came to fly fishing. So I told him, I said, we'll fish the interstate lakes. I said, we got some good warm water fly fishing spots. And then saved the last place, which was the outfall structure on the Tail Race Canal, just where it comes back into the South Platte. I said, and we were going to go for carp. And when we got there and I told him what we were doing, he kind of rolled his nose up like, oh, man. And then he saw me tie into a carp. And I almost had it back, and it was right there, and then the line snapped, sound like that 22 crack, and breaks the line. And I turned around, and he was standing right there looking at what fly I was using for that. I actually tie carp flies.
Do you really?
Yep. I'll have to get you one. I gave Larry Pape one time. You know the white filament stuff that you use for stuffing pillows?
Yeah.
Stuff like that? Just take that on a small hook and whip it with white thread, and it looks like a cottonwood seed.
Oh, yeah.
So.
And we got plenty of that.
That's what biologists do when they're sitting on the bank. They're looking around going, huh, I can make that.
What is this? That's good.
So we're going to have carp fishing, and then we always have a bunch of other sidebar things going on. What do you got this time?
You can fish print.
Goitaku.
Yes. Goitaku. Well,
that's
and
one of my favorite parts of Japanese art.
Right. It's kind of cool when you kind of, you know, when you know the history of it and how they used to take an image of their fish. And
predates taxidermy.
Yes. Yes. So people can either bring a t-shirt out and fish print their catch on a t-shirt, which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
Or Game and Parks will have like a square handkerchief material to print.
I was looking back through some pictures last night of Carporama, and the picture that's going to run with my column on Saturday, which talks about the event and a little history of the carp. It's a young lady, this is a couple years ago, and she had one of the handkerchief squares and had red and blue in her carp. So it's red, white, and blue, and
right.
I like that.
Right, that's
one.
Cool.
Like that. Yeah. Coralie Wheeler was her name. So
I remember her from Carporama.
Yeah. It's a couple years ago, but she was awful proud of that one. I love watching, especially the kids that catch their first fish.
Yes.
And you got a little guy there, you know, all of 25 pounds maybe, and he ties into a 10-pound carp, and he's almost water skiing.
Right.
Behind it.
Yep. Oh, man, that's one thing about Carporama. You know, even older people, young people, kids, everybody has fun. It's kind of a community camaraderie, you know.
It's
and
a fun event.
It's just, it's laid back, and it's just a lot of fun, especially when you hook into a big old carp.
They are... Like you said, they are tremendous fighters. And as you know, the longer I've gotten into my career with fishing, I go after them with the lightest tackle possible to get the most challenge
right.
out of it.
Yeah.
If I can beat a carp with a 4-pound line and an ultra light rod and reel,
then
or
you've
light,
done something.
Yeah. I've got a 2-weight fly rod, but I haven't had guts enough to take that out yet. I'm afraid they'll break it.
Right. We also have Stan Krause coming back this year. He is like the ultimate carp scorer. He's got that cleaning down to an art.
Who is in the wings to take over for Stan? Stan, how old is Stan?
Oh, gosh.
He's got to be in his
80s. Yeah. I don't know that we have a backup.
We better start thinking about
that. Yeah, we probably better.
Because, like you said, he's like a magician.
Yes.
And he prepares the fish, and then he also knows how to cook it.
Yes.
Carp, Yeah, most people don't realize, but carp is a very decent table fare when you know how to cook it right.
Right.
But that's the key.
Yeah.
Knowing how to cook it right.
And how to score it. So you,
right.
Yep.
And score it, bread it, and then toss it in the oil.
Yeah. Watching oil. Him is just fascinating. It's almost mesmerizing.
Combine a Jedi Knight and a ninja.
Right.
And watch him. Watch him do his thing, and yes, it's amazing to watch him. And then the taste. It's carp is one of those fish that it doesn't, to me, it doesn't have a lot of its own flavor, but mainly what
whatever
seasoning
you,
and breading you yep. put on it. So it can be very, very good.
Yep. But and we will be cooking it for a shore lunch.
And, yeah, you can sample
it. So people
it.
Can sample the carp.
I generally sample 3 or 4 just to make sure it's done right.
Right. Have to do that.
Don't want to make a rash decision on one sample.
That's right.
Such scientist in me. You got to have multiple samples. But
and then as a side dish.
Oh, my
you,
side dish?
Yes, you will be there Dutch
we,
oven
I
cooking.
I will be doing the infamous Dutch oven cooking. We'll have 3 different recipes to try, 3 different Dutch oven desserts to try. So we should be able to please about anybody.
Yeah, and right there, that's a big draw in itself. Dutch oven desserts.
I do a lot of Dutch oven cooking with the tourism people here in town. When they have busloads of people coming in, they take them out to Scouts Rest Ranch and Buffalo Bill's Ranch, or the museum. And while they're doing all that, I'm cooking up a cowboy meal with the Dutch ovens. And particularly the people from way back east, New Jersey, Connecticut, New York, they are fascinated that you can get something that tastes that good out of a pot on the ground. It just baffles them. And it's like, yep, that's how we did. One lady asked me, she says, this is the way the pioneers did it and the cowboys? I said, yes, ma'am. I said, the only concession I make is that I use charcoal instead of buffalo chips for my
right?
fire.
Yeah, it's a little easier and a little more even cooking.
Yeah, it is. So, and then the other, let me check with Corey here. Is this a good place to take a break? Okay, we'll do that, and then we'll switch gears and come back and talk about kites and castles.
Yes.
So stay with us, folks. We'll be right back after these messages. Welcome back, everybody. We're talking with Miss Julie Geiser this morning, and Public Information Officer with the Game and Parks here in North Platte. What's the address out there on East State Farm Road? 402?
301.
301. Yep. Oh, okay.
Right behind Menards.
Right behind Menards, yeah.
Yep. Well, kind of to
and
the
across
south.
The road from the hydro.
Right.
So.
Correct.
And that's what district, what office? 4?
4.
Okay.
Yep.
So anything you need to know, that's a good place to stop.
Absolutely.
Find you, find Karen. Karen knows everything.
Yes.
So. And then Lynn does a pretty good job in there, too.
Yeah, actually, Lynn retired.
He did.
Now we have Mary.
Well, I'll have to stop in and meet Mary. I
yes.
don't know her.
Yeah.
I didn't realize Lynn was going to retire. I knew he was eligible.
Yeah.
So, well, good yeah. for Lynn.
Yeah.
Hope I get to pay his Social Security for a long time. When we left there for the break, we were talking about Carparama, and then you mentioned... carp bait.
Yeah, dough balls.
Dough balls.
Dough balls.
That is a science unto its own.
Yes. And there's a lot of configurations used by many carp anglers from yes. grits to oatmeal, peanut butter, jello, all rolled into a little ball
yep.
and placed on a hook.
Have you read any of the recipes that come out of England?
And no.
They call them boilies. Over there.
Oh, that's right.
Because they,
yeah.
Whatever the concoction is, then they boil it so it solidifies on
yes.
the hook. And I mean, it's like medieval alchemist. They get so precise in that. They have some wild recipes.
Yeah.
One thing I noticed a lot in common with their recipes is the use of anise oil, licorice. black licorice, which I don't want to eat a fish that eats that anyway.
I like black licorice.
I don't. Man, that's beat me with a stick. What's your favorite carp recipe, carp?
You know, I use the cornflakes and usually a cherry Jell-O and maybe throw in, I don't know, peanut butter or some grits.
Never tried peanut butter.
Yeah.
I've done oatmeal and grits before. My favorite and the one I seem to have some of the most success on is I take a box of Wheaties, throw it in the blender, and pulverize it to powder, and then mix that with strawberry Jell-O, you know, make the Jell-O, and it sets up. And then I use an old plastic ice tray and pour each individual cell with that and then embed a treble hook in it.
That's smart.
Let it solidify. And that's
then I gotta just tie on.
Yeah, that's an afternoon worth of fishing right there.
That's perfect.
Yep, easy. Take the girls out and do that.
Yeah.
What's your youngest?
She's what? Paisley.
Paisley.
Yep. I'm
trying to remember her name. Yeah. She might even remember when we tried to tell her that she could catch more fish if she kept the worms warm in her mouth.
Yeah. I kind of remember the look on her face questioning that.
Smart girl.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, Kites and Castles.
Yes. It's also Kites and Castles on Saturday. That event registration starts at 11 Mountain Time. So it'd be noon our time.
Right.
So you could go right from Carparama, head up to Martin Bay at Lake McConaughey and go build sand castles or, you know, sand sculptures. We get more sculptures nowadays than we do castles, which is, that's like a fine art on how to build.
Corey and I were talking about that this morning when we mentioned kind of a preview for what we were going to talk about. And I said the artistry in some of that is amazing. And one of my favorites a few years back, it was like a 25, 30 foot, looked like a sea serpent crawling up out of the lake.
Yeah.
Remember that one?
Yep.
That was cool.
They, you know, there are some fascinating pieces. I know we kind of had a family day up there one year, and we did a sea turtle hatching eggs or dropping her eggs off into the sand. And it was a little tougher than it looks, but it sure was a lot of fun.
The one that fascinated me, the one particular element of the sea serpent is, you know, they had teeth. Well, how do you get the teeth in there? They're like stalactites.
Right. Sand doesn't
dry out and does it hang on?
You need water bottles and, you know, some art tools and...
Oh, yeah.
It's pretty fun. So that goes on at Martin Bay. You'll see a lot of people up there. And it's kind of fun to just walk up and down the beach and watch everybody as they build these things throughout the day. It's just kind of interesting and... I think I'm going to take a kite up there this year and try my hand at flying a kite. They usually have some vendors up there that do some kite flying, and there's some food and drink vendors.
Some of the kites I've seen in the past, it's not the kite you go buy at Walmart. They are.
Some of them lift you up off the ground if the wind's right.
Oh, man.
They're pretty interesting.
I don't know where they get those, but I'm sure Amazon can get you.
Yes, they're like the dual handheld where you hold a string in both hands, and they're really kind of cool. But then judging will be from 4 to 5, and then awards will be given after that. So like I said, it's just kind of a, if you don't want to build the sand sculpture, go watch. It's pretty fascinating just to even spend the day on the beach and go watch.
Very good. And like you've mentioned, that some of them are amazing sculptures. You look at them and you go, God, it's kind of a waste. It's all going to be gone in a couple hours. But
sometimes they actually make it till the next day, and you'll see remnants for 2-3 days after, depending on rainstorms and such, wind.
Do you have a favorite that you've ever seen? Personal favorite?
You know, there was one. It wasn't a sea serpent, but it was a dragon. We actually had some folks come from out of state just to build a sand sculpture.
Mm.
And it was a man and wife and his two kids. And it was a dragon and then a smaller dragon. And it was in like a pool. And it was pretty fascinating. And it was huge.
That, yeah, that's the other thing. I mean, some of these things are...
It was taller than me.
Yeah, some of these things take up 100 square feet or better.
Yep. I've seen cars and trucks made out of the sand, you know, detailed down to the spokes and the rims and the emblems on the tailgates. And
there was one I saw some years ago. It looked like it was supposed to be a fisherman, I think, being sucked under in the sand. It looks like he was going down a hole.
Yeah.
And a lot of imagination.
Yes. Yep.
So
we also had one where there was a horse laying on its side and a cowboy was laying up against the back of his horse.
Oh, that's
and I
cool.
had never seen that one before, and that was pretty unique too. But
that'd be good.
Yes. Come spend a day at Lake Mac.
And
put on your flip-flops and sunscreen.
Same kind of thing like at Maloney. Just need a park pass to get in if you're
Correct.
Bringing a vehicle. But
yep.
everything else is free.
Yep, right at Martin Bay there.
That's pretty cheap entertainment.
It is.
That would be good.
And it's going to be hot, so it's a good
yeah.
day to spend in the water near the beach.
Yep, and bring your sunscreen.
Bring your sunscreen. That. Yep, water toys.
Water toys, hats.
Water. Hydrate.
Yes. What else do we need to cover? We've got about a minute or so left.
Well, Carparama. It's only once a year.
That's the first thing up, and that's less than 24 hours
that's
away
right
now.
Yeah, we'll be setting up tonight for it, and we'll be ready to roll at 8 a.m. in the morning. So come on out to Carparama.
Where?
Lake Maloney,
but
yep.
where?
The
Lake
main Maloney. Boat ramp near the jetty.
Near the jetty and the outlet.
That's, on the outlet side. Yep. So east side of the lake.
Very good. Thank you, Mog, for coming in this
yeah.
morning. It's always fun to talk to you, and we never run out of stuff to
no,
talk about.
No. So. It'll be a fun day tomorrow.
Very
I'll,
good.
I'll see you bright and early.
Yes, I'll be there. All right. Thanks. That's it for this week, folks. We'll see you next time on another edition of the Outdoor Connection.